You're listening to The Morning Drive with Chris Beckham on South Georgia's talk leader, News Talk 105.9 WVGA.
Back on The Morning Drive, 8:06 on this Tuesday morning. Hope you're off to a good start. And kids around Lowndes County, you got a couple days left. Make the most of it. Let's see, Lowndes County schools begin on Thursday. Valdosta City schools begin on Friday. I talked to some friends of mine this morning from Highland Christian, their brand new school, the former Pine Grove campus. They start on Thursday as well. I think Valwood is still about a week or so away. So, and Georgia Christian probably right in line as well. So, a good time to, again, end out summer and start on a good note. And, Stacy Bush is in with us from Bush Wealth Management this morning. And, it's an exciting week, first week of school.
It is exciting, although my kids were not excited. I'm trying to get them on this schedule. So as I was leaving this morning, I'd already turned on music in all of their rooms. No movement. So I go and I yank the covers off and finally they get up as I was walking out the door about 15 minutes ago.
I think kids say they're not excited, but once they get to school, they are.
They're yeah, they want to see their friends and hang out and talk, but it's difficult when you got teenagers. It's a whole different world.
Yeah, I'm starting to see that a little bit. So,
but they were all walking around as I was walking out the door, so that was a good sign.
Before 8 o'clock, that's a victory. That's
well, right. Friday is going to be very early because high school starts at 7:30 in the city schools, so that's an early morning.
Of course, Stacy also doubles as a board member on the Valdosta City School Board. And I'm really excited. We've been talking a lot with Dr. Kaysen and Jennifer about this whole survey about starting school later, which I think I'm very much in favor of because all the scientific data shows that it just works out better. And so I applaud the board office and the school board as well for trying to get as much public input as possible. But I do think that eventually, hopefully, that decision will be made because I think it will be a good one.
So. I think it will be too, Chris. This is something I had many parents. We did a survey probably in the spring, I think, before school's out. And many parents reached out to me personally and said they were really for this. But I would say, Chris, I had just as many say they were not for it for some reason. So it's one of those hard decisions that we as a board have to make. That is probably going to be kind of a make some people mad, make some people happy thing, unfortunately. But the data does prove out, I think, that starting later is in the best interest of the kids.
That doesn't surprise me because, number one, I think people are just averse to change, whatever it is, until they get used to it. But also, I think if people are thinking, well, if I've got to be at work at 8, then I got to get my kids somewhere by 7:30. And
right.
So if we start later, that's going to – so I understand that, and it's not going to be – it may not be great for everybody, but when you're talking about a – school system with, I don't know how many,
8,000 kids. In our system, not Lowndes.
Yeah, Lowndes got, I think, over 10. It's not going to be great for everybody. I mean, it's, you know, everybody's going to be so. But anyway, I think it's a big good
Well, the give and take that we're having in our district, Chris, is that we're looking at the high school starting later, but the kids who actually, well, my kids were 3, 4, 5, 6, 8. I mean, I tried to sleep in on Saturday mornings, and they were up at 6:30. So those kids seem to get up earlier at that age. Kids, as they get older, they tend to need more sleep. Their bodies are growing more rapidly, and they need to start school later is what the data says. We'll see if our system wants to do it or not. I think it's a great idea, but only time will tell.
Well, we got off course there for our subject this morning.
It is a good subject.
It is, and we'll certainly continue to talk about it as well. And I'm also glad y'all greenlight that documentary. I cannot wait for that. So,
thank you.
Let's talk about what our subject is this morning. And talking about passing down real estate, and, again, I was mentioning earlier, ironically, as we were talking about mosquito control, about subjects that affect everybody, and I think that's one of them. But this is also one where many times families are affected by this. And tell me if I'm right, because it seems like this would be a subject that you don't really know what goes into it until you're faced with the reality that this may be something that is coming to you.
Yeah. So real estate, Chris, is one of those things that historically has been an item that many families have passed down from one generation to the next generation. It has extreme positives. It also can have some negative consequences as well. And so we put together kind of 5 questions that you need to run through your brain to think about if you know you're going to inherit real estate at some point, or if you think you're going to actually be the one passing it down. And if you ask yourself these 5 questions and you think through it with your individual family dynamics, you'll, I think, make a better decision as to how to do it properly.
I've got several questions that jump to my mind, so we'll see if they match up with the ones that you've got. So what's the first one?
Well, the first thing you need to talk about is the property going to have a mortgage? Mm-hmm. Because if something is passed down that still has liability on it, even though the person receiving the property, maybe through probate court, is not on the note, the deed can still be attached to some type of note, even if it is passed down to the next generation. So if it's going to have a mortgage, you're going to have to decide, is the property actually something we want to maintain? Is it something we want to keep up? If we have tenants in it, or maybe we've got trees on it, maybe it's a tract of farmland, you've got to actually decide, is it in the best interest of us to keep it as a family, as an individual, maybe as multiple people inheriting it and trying to decide if it's appropriate. If it does have a mortgage, the mortgage company is going to give you 60, 90 days. I mean, I have seen it as long as maybe 180 days if it's one of the larger institutions to actually make the payments. But eventually that's the property is going to be taken, and it can be taken for what's left on the property in terms of actually the liability, the debt on it. Even if the equity is significant, they can take all of the property for a small amount of debt if the payments are not made.
That makes sense. That's the first thing to consider, because that could change everything if there is still money owed on it.
Obviously. That's right.
Yeah, so. How about our second one?
The second one is taxes. And this specifically what I'm talking about is inheritance tax or estate tax or death tax. You know, all of those words mean the same thing. Mm-hmm. When someone inherits a piece of property, a lot of times I have seen, Chris, over the years, that can be the largest chunk of an estate that passes down to the next generation. So if you inherit that piece of property and it puts you over the estate tax limit, are you going to have the cash to pay the tax?
Sure.
So I remember this. Now, this has probably been 7 or 8 years ago. We worked with a lot of agriculture-based families, and this particular gentleman had passed down, I think it was 1,500 acres, maybe 1,800 to his boys, two boys, to farm the land. Well, there was no plan in place, which we had talked about in years past. He died kind of suddenly, to actually take care of the tax so the boys could continue to farm. So they had to sell almost half of the farm.
Wow.
Just to pay the tax, which directly affected the income to his grandkids. So you've got to decide if inheriting a piece of property is what is important. You've got to take into the tax consideration as well, or you could have a big problem in the future.
You know, strangely enough, what I've heard, something similar to this, are people who go on games, the Price is Right or whatever, and they win a car, they win the trip or whatever, and this, yeah, you win that, but you still have to pay the taxes on it. And I've heard a lot of people say, hey, I can't, or even these extreme makeover shows where they win a house,
right?
But then they can't afford the taxes or whatever. So, yeah, you win this huge house, but the taxes are pretty steep on it, and so they end up selling it or filing whatever. So
that's right, and that's the reason why cash is so important, again, when you're passing down an estate to the next generation. Because, and again, this could easily be fixed not only with cash, but with proper planning, with like life insurance as well. All it takes is a small amount of income,
right,
coming off of that farm to allocate to a life insurance contract, and then you've got the money set aside to be able to pay the tax. So there's lots of ways we can plan for this, but you just got to take the time to plan. You can't bury your head in the sand and say, hey, I'm going to let the boys deal with it or my kids deal
right
with it. That's really not the most prudent and the best stewardship of what you've been given, to just let the next generation take care of it.
And like you mentioned, this is something that if you you know, as you get older or near retirement, or if you, you know, get sick with some kind of long-term illness, then you take time to do it. But sometimes that's why you need to do it now, because you don't ever know what tomorrow brings, and if something catastrophic happens, then you're in a mess. So.
Yeah, look, I think last week, a week before last, I met with a family, Alzheimer's, dementia of a situation, and now there is crisis mode. And
yeah,
because there was no planning in place, now we've got to all take a step back, and we can't just punt. We got to bust through the line with whatever ideas we can do to help the situation. And a lot of times when you bust through the line, to use a football analogy rather than punt, you know, somebody gets hit hard and somebody gets hurt. Somebody might wind up hurting something. So you've got to be, if you plan properly and you can take a look across the offense and know where everything is, it's a whole lot easier than having just to run one of those helmet smashing plays.
I'm very appreciative that Stacy breaks it down in football terms, so even I can understand things. So, we'll take a break. We'll come back with the other three questions that you need to know about real estate, whether you are planning to pass it down or if it possibly will be passed down to you. with Stacy Bush from Bush Wealth Management. We'll have more right after this on News Talk 105.9, and this is WVGA.
You're listening to The Morning Drive with Chris Beckham on Valdosta's Information Leader, News Talk 105.9, WVGA.
All right, back on The Morning Drive, 8:20 on this Tuesday morning. Stacy Bush with Bush Wealth Management joining us. And as we always like to remind you, and we do it because there really is a lot of good stuff on there, you can go to bushwealthmanagement.com, and you'll find a lot of pieces that are possibly appropriate for you and may speak to a situation that you're facing. So check that out today. A lot of blogs, and they're very active on social media as well at bushwealthmanagement.com. We're talking about real estate this morning and different things that can come up, whether or not you're thinking about passing real estate down to your heirs or to anybody, or if that possibly is something that is will be passed down to you, and some questions that we're talking about. What's the next one on the list, Stacey?
Well, the next one is to decide if the property is going to remain in the family. Many times when real estate is passed down from one generation to the next generation, you've got some interesting decisions to make. Often you'll find multiple people owning a piece of property if they decide that they want to take it through probate into their family. So imagine, Chris, having a piece of property that had 11, 12, 14 names on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone's trying to figure out exactly whose is whose.
Right.
So that's the first thing you got to decide if you want the property to remain in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, also I'll bring this up, many times property has sentimental value. It's not usually the cash that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually the property and the stuff that's in the property.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy's shotguns, mama's dining room table, the family Bible,
mm-hmm.
and the physical real estate. You know, I was born on that land. I shot my first deer on that land. Daddy took me hunting quail on this land. Those type things make it very difficult to make a objective, non-biased financial decision that's in the best interest of the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a question you need to ask yourself. Is the family going to remain? Is the property, pardon me, are going to remain in our family? Or is it something that we're going to just sell to one of our other family members? All those type discussions need to take place, and it needs to take place in a frame of mind that's not argumentative as well.
And that's something that goes back, it seems like with every conversation we have about every subject, open lines of communication. Talk it out now. Go ahead and sit down and figure out where everybody is. Be understanding of other people's concerns, because everybody may not be, like you said, some people may say, I want to keep it in the family. Others say, we can't keep it up. Let's just get rid of it.
Right.
And so everybody's got to be respectful in that conversation, too.
Yeah, and many times one family member will say, well, I'll just buy the property. And that's a very common occurrence. I would strongly recommend getting an appraisal at that point. That way everybody is on the same page. Everybody treats each other fairly. And one person doesn't feel like they got taken advantage of.
Yeah. Again, let's go to our fourth question. What's the next one we need to kind of
keep
in mind?
Well, the fourth question is, you really need to ask yourself, what are my family dynamics? If you've got, like most families have, and mine included, some folks that you necessarily don't trust that are in the family, that you're not sure if you actually would ever do business with them,
right,
at all, because they lie, cheat, and steal. you want to talk about that kind of stuff.
Right.
And you don't want to say that, obviously, to their face, but you want to make sure that you know exactly what you're doing, because if the family dynamics do not support everyone taking possession of a piece of real estate passed down, say it's a farm, maybe it's a bunch of trees, pine tree land. One of the common ones is like a condo.
Yeah.
Man, imagine having 7-8 family members all inheriting daddy's, granddaddy's condo,
yeah,
and they're all fighting over the schedules when they can go to the beach.
Right.
Those type questions and the dynamics within a family are very important.
And it's just so easy, even for families, I think, to get along. And I've seen, and you've probably seen this 1,000 times, but I've seen cases where families get along pretty well, but just because they have different interests, it can cause a rift.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, it's unfortunate. Nobody's really in the right or wrong. It's just, you know, different ideas on how things should be handled.
Yeah, right. Everybody has their own idea. and nobody necessarily is right or wrong. So the, I would disagree on one point that the ones that lie, cheat, and steal are the ones that
I'm excluding those. Yes,
yeah, but for the most part, families are going to want to talk these things out.
Right.
They're going to want to actually help understand each other. And again, everyone's different in terms of what they can do and what they can't do. Maybe the time off is more limited to be able to use the vacation condo for another family member,
right,
and another family member has more flexibility. The main thing is to just continue to trust each other, care about each other,
yeah,
and then ultimately you'll come to the right decision as long as you're, I think, prudent, and I think taking your time with these decisions. You don't want to make quick decisions. You want to move very slowly and deliberately.
Again, Stacy Bush with Bush Wealth Management joining us this morning. Let's get our final thing that we need to make sure we consider when faced with this kind of situation.
Well, this is a biggie, and this is the one that I most commonly see when property is passed from one generation to the next,
mm-hmm,
Chris, and it's the value of the property. Everybody who inherits a piece of property is always more valuable than what they think it is.
Sure.
So you want to get a market appraisal. You want to be realistic about the value, and you don't want to necessarily say, you know, this property is going to be turned commercial, and I know it's going to be worth $2 million, and the thing's worth $150,000.
Right.
You got to be realistic about that, mm-hmm, and not hide things from yourself, because
yeah,
if you play tricks with yourself and you tell yourself, because daddy said eventually Walmart's gonna buy this land, you know, that's a problem when you go to actually dispose of the property in the future. You're gonna be stuck with it paying the tax for years.
I remember this may predate you, I don't know, you've been around a little while, but there was years and years and years ago, there's all these rumors about a NASCAR track that's gonna be built somewhere around Brooks County.
And I hadn't heard of
it. It seems like crazy, but I mean, NASCAR tracks are, I mean, Talladega is not big as anything. I mean, they're built in these little small communities.
Right.
And boy, property was going to go through the roof. Everybody's going to get rich. And I remember thinking, is this really it? And of course, nothing ever happened.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was just a rumor. I don't know. I doubt there was ever anything really to that. But
I have not heard that before. But if NASCAR did show up here to South Georgia, that would be fun.
Yeah, it would be. And property values around there would skyrocket.
No question about it.
As you can imagine. So it's probably one of those lying, cheating cousins of spreading those kind of rumors. So, but again, communication is the kind of key to all this. And listen, there are people who appraise property, and so that I would imagine would be obviously a thing to do. And then so everybody knows kind of where they're working from. And let me ask you this. Is it more complicated, I mean, in common sense, as it would be, if you're dealing with more family members or more heirs?
No question about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, when
yeah, we've got one situation. I think we pretty much got this put to bed now, but I literally had 37 family members on one tract of land.
Man.
So it was a mess. Now, sometimes I have seen that work, and there's
yeah,
one good example here in our community that a lot of folks partake in that works. But for the most part, you know, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
If you treat it like a business and it functions like a business and it's business decisions, it works. But if it's sentimental and somebody wants to use it more than somebody else and somebody thinks it's worth more than what it really is worth, that's when it gets complicated. And I would say this too, Chris, the upkeep can be a problem if it's more just kind of a hodgepodge approach rather than a business approach. Upkeeping a condo, maintaining farmland, that type stuff takes a lot of money and maintenance. And if you don't have set out operating agreement to actually govern how each family member is going to contribute, that's a problem as well.
And like you always say, write down that plan so everybody knows. Real quick, one of our listeners asked a question. Are
yeah,
there any Georgia laws that have any bearing on something like this?
The only law that I would say is most important is how the actual property is titled.
Okay.
So if it's titled joint with right of survivorship, if one of those joint owners dies, it immediately goes to the other person. But my attorney friends are going to shoot me if I get this wrong. I think pre-91 or pre-93 in Georgia, deeds and titles were joint tenants in common. And what that means is if you and your wife are married and you pass away and that title is old because it's pre-91, pre-93, that means your boys get your half of her land.
Okay.
And then they've got to give it up and give it back to you as their father.
Okay.
And so if you haven't updated the title since the early 90s, you need to update it to joint with right of survivorship. That's the only thing that I see most commonly as far as laws.
Gotcha. Of course, any questions, you can call Stacy in his office, 247-1400. 74, and that can head you in the right direction as well. But again, communication, being open, and just using some common sense goes a long way.
Common sense is good.
Amen to that. Good to see you, man.
Yeah, good to see you too. Thanks
for having
me. Have
a good week, and hope your kids get off to a good start.
I know they will. We'll see. I'm going to wake them up early again in the morning. Hopefully they'll go to bed earlier tonight.
Well, that's the other part of that fight, yeah. Can't we just have an extra 30? Yeah. Then you got to become a Nazi and everybody likes you. So that's
right.
All part of it. We'll take a break. We'll come right back to your local news. We'll have your community calendar, tell you about some things happening in the community. And, of course, our strange stories of the day all on the way next on The Morning Drive right after this.